Ladies and gentlemen, are you guys ready for three-course comedy? Put your damn hands together for my special guest host of this month, Mr. Matt Monroe.
Woo! Food shows, everybody. If you're broke, this is where you want to be.
There's
right up front.
Right up front. Free food. Don't tell the homeless.
Actually, tell the homeless.
No, it's you guys. I do regret to inform you guys that a good 70% of our audience tonight was actually on Malaysian Flight 370. So, we do miss them. I know. Oh, it's fine. The plane's not real, you guys. Don't even worry about it. It's a smokescreen for why we're bombing Crimea or whatever. They see? Okay, maybe they're ghosts are mad, and I shouldn't have said that. Anyways. Spirits are throwing things. Anyway, welcome to the show, you guys. We have a fantastic get-together. This is three-course comedy, a night of frivolity and gastronomy. I don't think I've said both of those words right.
Frivolity and what?
I don't know.
I thought you said frivolity and pastrami. I was like, that fits.
It's a night of pastrami.
Do we have pastrami?
No, there's no meat here.
It was in my rider.
Meat is murder.
Yeah. All right, well.
Anyways, Mesa, again, not here, still solving that age-old mystery of the Mesa mango tree. He's down in Florida. Hasn't been able to make it back.
The family mango tree, they still can't figure it out.
They still, you know, his father nearly killed a man with
mango.
A garden hoe, actually. And okay. So it's a serious, I don't know, man. I don't know what kind of emotions you go through when you lose a 25-year-old family heirloom.
Does everyone know this story?
I don't know if anybody here. Well, last month, Adrian missed the show because he was dealing with a tragedy. It seems there was a miscommunication and some gardeners, landscapers chopped down a 25-year-old family heirloom of a mango tree that they had in their yard.
And his Adrian's father, Cuban, and apparently Cubans, their family heirlooms that they pass down from generation to generation are exotic fruit trees.
Yes, and so his father absolutely devastated and nearly killed a man with a garden hoe. And so Mesa's down there doing that, and also freelance, and he's still serenading the turtle weddings as he does, and so he's going to be back next month, so it's going to be great.
Is he going to be back next month?
He'll be here next month.
All right.
So in the meantime, I have a Mesa lookalike. I did the best I could.
It's me. I'm going to do my best Mesa impressions. They're not good. You're all looking at me like to do one now. I was going to do it later, but I guess I'll do it now.
You don't say you're going to do a Mesa impression and then not do a Mesa impression. That's rule number 36 in the book of Mesa.
I'm a singleman. I like to buy a three-pack of condoms, a three-pick. You guys know about the three-pick? That's all I got.
See?
That's all I got.
He's doing a great job.
That's all I got. See? They're not picking up the East Coast accent.
They don't even know that he's not here.
I think I got it.
Yeah, if we don't mention it.
You know, I have more facial hair than him now because I don't know what he was doing with that if you saw him this week. Shaved it all off. Really pissed me off.
He's still in Florida. You're ruining the bit.
What? Oh, right. I'm Mesa. I grew my facial hair back.
No one's seen him in roughly 19 days.
What happened to him? Was he on the Malaysian flight?
Anyways, you guys, we have a great show. Hangover foods, you guys. St. Patrick's Day was this month. I'm sure we
hangover
all got
foods.
Super trashed. And even if you aren't religious and don't celebrate St. Patrick's Day, I'm sure you still get super trashed. And so we're here today to talk to you guys about the cure for the common hangover. It's a problem that I'm pretty sure most Americans deal with, because we're a country with a drinking problem, that's for sure.
We like to indulge, us Americans, don't we?
We do. I think we overindulge.
Overindulge
probably
a lot.
Probably too much. And so the hangover, I don't know about you, but the hangover is like the worst thing ever. I didn't used to get them, right? Like when I was a kid, could drink, stay up all night, no hangover, right? Be right back at it, 2 hours of sleep. Now, if I have like too many whiskey drinks, I spend 8 hours the next day just hating life.
I know, I live with you.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I experience your hangovers, unfortunately.
That's right. That's sort of like your own personalized alarm clock. So
exactly.
Anyways, but I did look up some. I brought some hangover cures with us because we always try to figure out, you know, what to do in the moments when you're praying for death. And so I came up with I did some extensive research. I found this from BroBible.com. You guys, I learned a lot today. Number one, BroBible.com's a thing. Number two, I got 25 lists of hangover cures here. So I'll just go through. A couple with them.
By the way, if you guys don't know what Bro Bible is as a website, it's basically like if date rape were a website. That's basically what Bro Bible is.
There's like the commandments.
Yeah.
There's rules you follow.
It's like rules to follow to get away with date rape.
Rule number one, flip-flops always.
Yep.
Anyways, No, I got this from it. Here's to show how awful this site is, if you guys don't know. There's links for other things, and there's 9 friends you'll stop seeing after college is one of them. This one is, there's a blog called The Agony of Waiting in a Long Line to Take a Piss in a Crowded Bar. And so I really pulled this from
these are the hard-hitting issues that Bro Bible tackles on a regular basis.
Right. I wish this one came with, like, a picture, though, because it's real interesting. It says, oh my, this gif of Lindsay Lohan's boobs from her Oprah show is tremendous. It was great. My favorite part about that is that bros know how to use the word tremendous. That's very impressive. But this list compiled, the number one cure best hangover food from brobible.com is the Egg McMuffin, everybody.
Yep.
And then number 2 is a thing called Nuun, N-U-U-N, which I think is just an offshoot of Rufalin, but it's a...
Never heard of it.
It's Alka-Seltzer-like tablets actually invented by a Dartmouth bro as his senior project to cure hangovers, so...
Somebody's senior project was how to cure hangovers.
This guy has... He has my vote for mayor, so... Which
of,
is great.
This of
is,
Toronto. Come on, guys. Come on.
That's why I hired him, you guys. He's got the funnies. Anyways, this list goes on. It's got grits, coffee, burgers, cold pizza, ginger ale, e-boost. Jimmy John's anything is on here. It says...
What's e-boost? That sounds like it speeds up your internet.
E-boost. E-boost, it's close. It's an energy drink sold in tablets in powder form that aids in recovery. An electrolyte replacement is featured on Entourage recently.
Come on, Vince.
It's an e-boost. It's for fucking turtles.
Turtle swears by it, yeah.
I'm just so happy to come up with one name from that show. Anyways. No, the Jimmy John's anything. As a bro in the bromunity put it, Illinois' gift to the world. Bromunity. It's tremendous. It really is.
Anyways, well, are any on that list something that you subscribe to?
That I subscribe to? Bananas is on here somewhere.
Potassium.
I'm a big fan of the banana. The banana is, if you don't know, it's one of the easiest to eat foods on your stomach and is also filled with potassium. Perfect for that first step.
You guys don't know what a banana is.
A hangover.
This is what a banana is.
Some people don't know, man.
I'm allergic to them. I can't eat them anymore. I've developed an allergy to bananas.
Do you want to see the subtext for bananas from the Bro Bible?
Yep.
See? Anyways. Potassium will try to heal some of the massive hurt you're putting your liver through.
Is that the scientific explanation?
Yeah.
Massive hurt?
The massive hurt.
Which element is that on the periodic table?
It's flip-flop. It's just a flip-flop symbol.
Yeah, M-H.
Anyways, Hot Pockets is on here. There's some things that I've known. Code Blue, which is like another morning after drink for bros. I guess that's why I've never had it. Ingredients should speed up recovery from your latest binge. These guys aren't very educated.
Well, I mean, it seems like food is the answer to hangover, is what I'm gathering.
Like greasy foods. This one here is one of my favorites on the list. The tuna melt, because it's endorsed by the Iron Man himself, Robert Downey Jr. So you know that shit works.
He definitely knows.
Personally, I go with like cheesy bread. I go with a banana and then like a good cry and then like a nap and then and then I'll have like some cheesy bread with some marinara.
Yeah, like I think just anything that you consume that isn't alcoholic is really
is
good.
It's a good cure for a hangover. Maybe water, maybe the most precious of
elements.
Yeah,
water is probably pretty good. I mean, I'm not a huge drinker, but in the times that I've been hungover, I just would go to whatever my favorite food is that's closest. Like whatever, anything. Like if I got a cheesesteak in the freezer, it's going to be a cheesesteak. If I've got bananas there, it's going to be a banana. I guess I want to find anything that's not whatever
anything
I was consuming the night before is going to be the best thing for it, I feel like.
I always feel like booze is the best thing for it. I mean, we always end up there, right?
Hair of the dog.
The hair of the dog.
All right.
That's the cure.
Where does that fucking thing come
hair
from?
Hair of the dog, that's a real...
I know Jordan knows. He's probably done a Werewolf Radar episode on it. What is it?
Do you drink dog hair and get drunk?
Well, it was actually a thing for rabies. They thought in like medieval everywhere that if you were bitten by it, if you could get some of the hair of the dog that gave you rabies, it was
good rabies. Or turn you into a dog.
Man. We used to
the Spider-Man logic. Yeah, that's so weird. Are you a Bloody Mary fan? A lot
I
of people
am,
swear
yeah.
by Bloody
I'll
Marys,
a,
right?
I have a Bloody Mary.
Like, something about Bloody Mary is like, because there is alcohol in Bloody Marys. I've never had one. I don't know.
They put the is wrong beer,
vodka
for
in
this,
it, right?
You guys?
Is there vodka in a Bloody Mary? Are you looking at me because I've never had a Bloody Mary? Never had a Bloody Mary, never had a corn dog. Swear to God.
What?
Hand of God. Never had a Bloody Mary, never had a corn dog.
You feel free to throw shit. It's fine.
I'm just, I...
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my new co-host for the evening.
I'll be perfectly honest with you guys.
From the audience.
I'm gonna be real here for a second. I've never had a corn dog, that's true. But for the last 5 years, I've purposely not eaten a corn dog so I can keep saying I've never had a corn dog. I love the reaction I get. People get offended that I've never had one. And so that's why I keep doing it. But yeah, I've never had a Bloody Mary, mostly because I hate almost every ingredient in a Bloody Mary, which is why I don't like tomato juice, I don't like pepper, I don't particularly like vodka, which is why I don't ever drink it. So go fuck yourself if you can't deal with that.
What about Worcestershire sauce?
Worcestershire sauce?
Worcestershire.
Isn't that what goes on steaks? Why?
And in Bloody Marys.
Why?
It puts the hair on the nuts, dude.
It's good? I don't... If somebody whips up a Bloody Mary right now, I will fucking try it. How about that? I won't eat. Jordan just pulls one out of his pocket.
He happens to have all of the ingredients.
If you have a corn dog on you, I refuse to eat that. But if you have a Bloody Mary, I'll totally drink one.
You're totally depriving yourself. Some good old-fashioned American fun.
I guess.
There's nothing like getting drunk, hating life, and then getting drunk all over again.
Yeah, it's right. I need to get on board with
that. The American way. It's how we took this country.
Yeah.
Getting drunk.
Just getting drunk.
Wake up, get drunk, take country.
British are coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. Well, we have a fantastic show for you guys.
Yeah, Three Chorus Comedy, y'all.
Wonderful.
We're doing it.
If this is your first time coming to the show, how it works, we have three comedians. We have a main course, or I screwed that up. The appetizer, main course, then dessert. That's usually the order you eat in. And sure. They're all going to do a quick hot set, and then they're going to have a nice little interview. We're going to ask them some trivia questions, and it's going to be a lot of fun, you guys. Are you ready for your appetizer for the evening?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's a very funny guy. He runs the monthly show at the Vine Street Pub, which is incredible, called Arguments and Grievances. He's also a pretty good friend of mine and my doppelganger. Please welcome Mr. Kevin O'Brien.
KOB, everybody.
Give it up for Eric and Matt, you guys. Regular Abbott and Costello, you know? It's very, it's great, great rapport. And apparently Mesa is never coming back, so I think you picked a good co-host to take a spot. I think you did. Supposed to talk about food for the next 5 minutes, and I said that like I'm being held against my will. I'm supposed to, the first thing I think about when I was thinking about food is my dad, because my dad has like severe issues with food that he has now passed on to all of his children as well. I'm very skinny. I grew up very skinny, which drove my dad insane when I was a kid, because my dad grew up a big fat dude. Like, when my dad was a baby, he looked like he could have been the mayor of Chicago. He was just like this big, like, no hair, just fat dude. And he grew up that way, and mostly because my great-grandpa, his grandpa, he would be over at his house all day long every day. And my great-grandpa was born in 1898, so his diet consisted of, I shit you not, buttermilk, which he would drink every day. And everything was made in this cast iron skillet that I think like he stabbed a guy on a boxcar for in the 20s or something. Everything, and it was just nothing but bacon grease used to coat everything. So my dad just was such an overeater, and I was a really skinny kid. So my dad used to yell at me to like eat food because I wouldn't like whatever it was, and that would just drive him. The fact that I would even have an opinion about food drove him insane. He's like, "What? It's food! You just eat the damn food!" Like, that's all it was, all the time. One time in particular, and I just was talking to my dad about this a couple months ago, I'll never forget. I was sitting in the kitchen, like at the table, and my dad was on this real egg salad kick at the time for some reason. So he made me an egg salad sandwich. I took one bite and I was like, "Nah, I don't like that. I don't want any of that." And my dad loses his shit. Keep in mind, I'm like 9, 10, 11 years old around there. He's like, "You like eggs? You eat eggs all the time. I've seen you eat eggs. Eat the goddamn egg salad." Like he didn't understand that maybe a prepubescent boy doesn't have the palate for old mayo yet. Like, that's just because he grew up on a solid diet of old mayo. That's all he ate. So when I was 13 years old, and just to give you a little backstory, my mom... she still is over 20 years now, been a state trooper for the Nebraska State Patrol. And so part of her training this one year in particular was she had to go spend 6 weeks at camp, like a fucking boot camp all over again, to be in the state patrol. So my dad had a 12-year-old boy, an 11-year-old boy, and a 1-year-old daughter to take care of by himself for like 6 weeks. And at the end of those 6 weeks, my dad went into a diabetic coma on a Sunday afternoon because he ate way too many egg salad sandwiches. Still to this day, he blames his diabetes on bread pudding and egg salad sandwiches and Big Kings from Burger King, because apparently that's how he was dealing with his feelings during that time when my mom was gone, was to go and hang out with the King every day before he had to go home to his shitty kids that he was not watching at all. And when he went, when somebody goes into a diabetic coma, it's not like they have a stroke or a heart attack or anything like that. So the weekend it happened, me and my brother were just running around totally feral, unattended, around town for like over 24 hours. And my dad was just like sleeping a lot. And then on the Sunday in particular, like Shawshank Redemption's on the TV. He's like passed out on the recliner because it's a Sunday. And we kept like kind of waking him up to ask if we could go do stuff. And when he'd open his eyes, they were going in opposite directions. And he would be like, "Redemption." And we're like, he said, "Yes, all right, we're out of here." We'd take off. And we would run and go do whatever the hell we wanted. And he was serious, and like he went into like a full-on diabetic coma. So my mom comes home on this Sunday after like 6 weeks away of like just getting her ass kicked by like instructors and going through all this, which is still probably better than her home life, let's be honest at this point. She comes home, sets down her bags. "Hey, I'm, oh my God, what the hell is happening?" Takes my dad. My dad spent a week in the ER because he had to recover, and then they found out that, "Oh, hey, you got diabetes, man. Maybe you shouldn't have ate so much bread pudding and egg salad sandwiches over the past couple of years." And he has not gone on insulin or anything. He started running immediately after that, got himself in shape, still ate like shit, but only like once a week instead of all 7 days. Because, I swear to God, the doctor told him at 38 years old, he goes, "If you don't get your act together, buddy, you're not going to make it to 40. And after that, it was like sobered up. So now that I'm 28 years old and I like see my body, even though I'm skinny, like I'm starting to develop my dad's habits all over again. Like I eat a lot of Burger King all of a sudden. I don't know when that happened. Like right at 28, I was like, "You know, the flame broil, you can really taste it now. I really prefer it." So I think I'm going to go with the paleo diet or something. But that's my time. I'm Kevin O'Brien. Thank you guys for having me on this show. And eat some Slingers if you haven't had them yet.
Have a seat. Kevin O'Brien, everybody.
Kevin O'Brien.
That's the further one.
Kevin, was your dad mad at you because you were like being picky about food, or was he mad at you for being skinny? Because the way you describe your dad
both, and
growing up in the middle of the country like that, I feel like he's the kind of guy who would be like, "What the fuck, you're so skinny? What are you, a man? Put some meat on your bones." Like that
thing? No, my dad's not like that at all. But it was both. Like, so I wasn't like a super picky eater, but the fact that if I like had an opinion or chose anything, it would drive him crazy because I think in his mind he thought I was so skinny because I just wasn't eating enough.
Right, yeah.
And so he thought about food like porn or something. Like it was just always in his head. Like every 7 seconds it'd pop up, so he couldn't understand.
Plus he probably didn't have the choices you did.
No, he did, but my great-grandpa didn't. Developed a diet of like a Depression-era farmer or something.
Yeah, it sounds like he was from the time where you didn't have a choice what you ate. And so for him to like live through that and then to be like, "Oh my God, there's all this food now. Yeah. What's wrong with you, boy?"
Well, that's how my great-grandpa was my dad, which then might pass on weird food issues to my dad as well.
Yeah. So your dad's diabetic?
Yeah. Type 2.
Type 2, mine too.
Or as I like to say, you gave yourself diabetes, Dad. Yeah. And then he goes, I did. I guess so. Because he talks about diabetes like it's AIDS or something. Like, just this affliction that happened. It's like, no, you ate a lot of terrible food in a very short period of time.
That's usually how you get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought of that because a good friend of mine thought he had diabetes tonight. And now I know all the signs. So I was like,
"Hang on, lay down. I know the tests."
I was diagnosing him.
What are the signs? Like food in the corner of your mouth? Or
pretty good.
Dude,
thing.
You always got Snickers. What's up? Pretty I'm worried about thing. You, man.
Yeah,
that's pretty funny. So you brought the what are they called? The
Slingers.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was my hangover food. I don't know if it would totally count for me as a hangover food because I've ate it drunk way more than I've ever ate it hungover.
Right, yeah.
But I do think it's in the realm of hangover foods.
Yeah, break it down for the people.
So a Slinger is a bed of breakfast potatoes and then
because I was feeling pretty fancy today, 8 over easy eggs. Whew. And then you put red chili on top of that with cheddar cheese on top of that.
The slinger.
Nice. That is, and that's a Midwestern delicacy. That's from the great mediocre city of St. Louis, Missouri. That
oh, is there. It?
Yeah.
That sounds like
call it in Southern Missouri, a slanger.
Slanger.
Hey, grab me a slanger.
It's the St. Louis slanger.
Garrett smoked slangers. But one of the only times, and I can say this, I've only puked twice in my life after I've drank, like being hungover. And the last time I did, it was a full slinger that came out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you
so for all of you that ate a slinger earlier tonight, just enjoy that image later on.
Can you get it in sandwich form?
Well,
or does it normally come in sandwich?
You probably could. I haven't had it in sandwich form.
Like on a biscuit?
But there was a place in U City in St. Louis near SLU University that had a slinger burger, which was a hamburger with chilies, French fries, and egg on it, and all in one.
That's okay.
Yeah, and Kevin White, a good buddy of mine, used to swear by those, and we would go eat those at like 3 a.m. Or it was a lot. The whole 2 years I was there was just like a blur.
Kevin White's a monster
drunk.
With food.
Yeah, it's really gross, like how much we would drink, and then the shit that we would shove into our bodies, and it's all like gross late night diners around St. Louis, dude.
Not to go tangent with Kevin White, but when we were in Austin, there's a place in Austin called Gordo's. I don't know if anyone's ever been there. I'm not hearing any yelps, so no. Gordo's, and they're famous for they make sandwiches that the bread are donuts.
Oh,
and we went to their cart. Their original cart is across from the Velveeta room where we were doing shows.
Yeah, yeah.
So we walked over there, and he ordered. It was a glazed donut with fried chicken breasts on it.
Ooh!
And it was it was the grossest thing I ever saw. And he
that
just
awesome.
Loved it.
I would love that.
I tried it. It was pretty good. I mean, it's a donut.
It was gross.
It's a donut and fried chicken. I get it. Like I like those things individually, but together it was just like, oh, I can't do it.
Yeah, that's the kind of friend I had for that whole time I was there. We were like just super drunk, and then 3 a.m. It's like, hey man, you wanna maybe just eat $20 worth of nasty food at this courtesy diner room? Yeah, I guess. I got
sure.
nowhere else to
St. Louis is closed except for this place.
Yeah, it's always like the innocuous diners that are always the ones that are open.
Yeah.
It's gross.
It's like you see the neon sign from like 5 miles away.
Yep.
Yeah.
A lot of Waffle Houses too.
Oh
see,
man.
This is what I learned. This is how sick I became with my slinger addiction in 2009. You can go to other places that don't have it on the menu, like Waffle House, and just order the things and have them put it all in one plate. So you can just make your own slingers. So life hack for all of you sad people out there like me.
You got it figured out.
Yeah,
I exactly. like back in the slinger addiction of 2009.
So your dad has diabetes,
yes.
But you still working on it?
Yeah, well, I'm a borderline hypochondriac about it now. So anytime like I have any sort of inkling of like, oh, like I've been peeing too much. Oh, I got diabetes or whatever. Like, oh, my foot hurts. Oh, I got diabetes, whatever.
Yeah.
It's always like my default.
I got that same paranoia since it's hereditary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas like when I was in college, I was always terrified at an STD, and now I'm just terrified that I'm going to eat myself to death. So I have a girlfriend now, if you couldn't tell. That's
natural evolution.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
What that is. Well, great. Well, here, we're going to hit you with some trivia questions.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
Let's do it.
Matt, hit him with the trivia theme song.
Trivia.
A lot of soul in that.
He nailed it. He nailed it. Okay. Okay. Speaking of just eating too much, this is trivia provided via carrier pigeon from Adrian Mesa. So this is an interesting question referring to overeating. Is can you in fact get a hangover from eating too much food?
Well, see, so hangover makes me think that it's like a bad thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like I've gotten the meat sweats before. Like I'll admit that. I'm not too proud to admit that I've sweat while eating a meal, but I usually will fall asleep like after it sets in. If I'm like in any level of pain, I'll just fall asleep and then wake up and I'm fine. So I don't know if that counts as a hangover or not. Cuz I would have to wake up the next day and be like, "Oh man, too many buffalo wings or something," like.
Right.
I don't know. I never got that, but.
So no? Yes or no?
I mean, I don't know. I'm not a doctor, man.
Answer the question.
Trivia question. It's not your. It's not an opinion. It's
I don't know. Yes.
Yes. You're actually correct. You're correct.
Hey, look at that. I did it. That's all right.
There was a Smithsonian Magazine study that finds that foods with high nitrates, like salami, or excessive sodium, like pickles, can lead to migraines similar to that
dude,
of a hangover.
That's happened to me before. All right. I just, for years, I called this the hot dog blindness. And I thought, so
When, so I thought this was just a thing that happened to everybody. Like, just in the middle of an afternoon, like, your vision would get kind of spotty, like, you stared at the sun for too long, and it lasts for, like, half an hour, and you just sort of, like, you know who people are, and you sort of fake it for a while.
This is like your first experiment with drugs was eating too many hot dogs.
Well, I didn't know it at the time. Well, then I didn't realize until like last year, somebody told me that it was like a sign of nitrate poisoning or something. Because me, and here's another comedy name drop, me and Sam Talent were splitting a ham one time.
As you do.
We split like a whole ham, and we ate so much of this ham that I started getting, like, the spotty vision. I said something about it, and I was like, have you guys ever got, like, the hot dog blindness? Like, you ever get the spotty vision? And everybody's like, good God, no, what's wrong with you? And then Sam's like, oh, yeah, dude, all the time. And not only did Sam get it, he knew what it was, and he was like, yeah, man, that's from high nitrate meats. And I was like, well, I got a lot of nitrates in my system right now because I can't see anybody. I don't know what's
going
on.
That's so funny. I love that you think that, like, that's the technical scientific term. Everyone gets the hot dog
blindness, right? It was in the bromunity.
The bromunity. Perfect. That was an excellent.
Is that the next question? Is hot dog blindness real?
No, it's actually not. I wish. That would be perfect. No, this speaking of the bromunity, the bromunity. It's not my fault. It's just a stupid fucking word. That's all that is. I would say that's the American way in on hangover cures is strictly from the research of the bromunity community.
Sure.
And scientists in China, this is the question: true or false? Scientists in China have discovered that that Sprite soda is actually the best cure for a hangover. True or false?
I'm gonna say false.
You're incorrect. That's actually true.
What?
There's scientists in China that believe that because of the low amount of sugar, and then two other things I forgot to write down, it's actually the best.
And caffeine?
Yeah.
It's got to be the lime, right? Because that cures scurvy, doesn't it? Jordan?
Citrus.
You know about scurvy?
Yeah.
Thank you.
So far, Jordan's winning the trivia round. This is going pretty good. So yeah, so it is true, and I can't tell you why.
Okay, any more brain busters?
I have one more. One more. But like I said, they came in part from Carrier Pigeon via Adrian Mesa. So
that's how he does all of his sets now.
Yeah, he's a very talented Carrier
Pigeon.
Like
a true Cuban, just sends his pigeons out. Yeah, he was bidding for
him. It's like if you've seen like a ventriloquist act, this is something on a whole different level.
Gross.
It's pretty weird. Anyways, Hangover Heaven, true or false question? Hangover Heaven is the name of a company in Las Vegas that will actually come to your house and cure your hangover with fluids and vitamins.
Oh, that's true.
It's 100% completely true.
I not use their services, but...
You are familiar with them?
Well, I'm too broke, but I totally would if I could. Yeah.
How's it work? Do you know about it? Because I don't know anything about it.
Well, I heard about it the first time. There was this dude up in Boulder when I was in college. I was doing it around CU Boulder, and he would show up with... It was like part cleaning crew, part hangover cure. And so the cleaning crew, for $25... These college kids would show up and clean your nasty college house for like $25 an hour or whatever, and they'd also bring you Gatorades and like donuts and stuff.
Just Gatorade, because I imagine this is like extensive. Yeah. Like they got like IVs and shit. They come with like little oxygen.
Oh,
masks.
Really? See, that's next level.
Because if there's one group of people that know how to clean, it's college kids.
Well, better than the college kids that are passed out.
That's the smart non-drinkers like trying to capitalize.
Yeah, I mean squares. I mean, come on, really, like.
It's like I started my first business when I was 19.
What were you doing?
Cleaning the houses of people that were having fun.
Yeah, one guy found the two other people on campus that don't drink out of the 15,000 that go there.
Yeah, squares, man. Not me.
So that's it. Yeah, so far you're 2 for 3 of the trivia. That's fantastic.
Is that it?
That's it. Kevin O'Brien, ladies and
gentlemen. Kevin O'Brien, everybody.
Taking a lolly.
Fantastic job. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, are you guys ready for your main course tonight?
Your main course.
Main course. Ladies and gentlemen, he's a very funny guy. He's in from the wonderful land of California. Please put your hands together for Matt Ingebretson.
Ingebretson, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is everyone drinking here tonight or no? Cool. I noticed, round of applause if you're a man and don't have facial hair. Yeah. Call it Denver, Colorado, bunch of fucking bearded hippies? No. I like playing drinking games, but most of the time when I'm drinking, I'm alone. So I made up this drinking game that you can play when you're alone. And the way you play is you drink every time you feel feelings. And do that until you stop feeling feelings. First time I ever drank, I was 12 years old, and I took a sip of my dad's beer at a wedding reception. Second time I drank, I was 14, and I took a shot of Everclear at band camp. Quite the leap I made. Most people's progression is like beer, wine, liquor. Had I continued on my progression, it would have been beer, Everclear, gasoline straight from the pump. Commit suicide, I think, is the next logical step there. Where should I go to eat pizza here? I just got into town. What's the best pizza place in town? All right, one at a time. I have not heard a single thing yet. Benny Blanco's. Fuck all your other suggestions. Papa John's. Mmm, little conservative racist pizza place. Whenever I eat pizza, I always take a napkin and dab the grease off of the pizza. And then I eat the napkin. I eat the... Do an impression. This is an impression of an Italian chef who likes his sauce just a little too much. Okay, Italian chef likes his sauce too much. Hey, you gotta try my sauce. My sauce is the best in town. My sauce is mwah, 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 mwah. Mm. And that doesn't go anywhere after that. You guys ever notice when you're eating pizza with a group of friends, there's always that one friend that volunteers to eat everyone else's crusts? You know what I'm saying? Next time that happens, take a closer look at your friend, because it's probably just a bunch of pigeons in disguise. I had read that mangoes are a very sexual fruit. You guys ever heard that? Mangoes are a very sexual fruit. Then I had a mango recently, and it basically just laid there the whole time until I came. Fucked a mango. Like a very sticky fleshlight. Although fleshlights are also like very sticky fleshlights. You ever get so lonely you make up a backstory for your fleshlight? I don't own a fleshlight. I've been trying to... these are all my food jokes. The fleshlight one is not anything, but I've... Let's see. I have two more food jokes, and then we're going to do something that I've never tried before. So, next food joke is I've been volunteering. God, the worst setup for a joke ever. Here's my next joke. I've been volunteering. Every Monday, I go down to the food soup kitchen for a few hours and teach the homeless people how to Instagram their soup. Making a difference. Anybody here vegetarian? No? That feels shocking to me. Isn't this like a hip... Am I wrong that Denver's like a hippie town? It is? There's a fucking vegan place right next... Isn't this like an art space? Hipster. All right. Well... All right. Well, I've been dabbling with. I finally decided. I've gone back and forth on vegetarianism for a long time. I finally decided I'm never going to eat meat again, but I am still going to kill animals. Does that make sense to you? All right. That's all my food materials. So, I looked up. It's hangover foods is the theme of this. So I Googled best hangover food in Denver, and Pete's Kitchen. So then I looked up Pete's Kitchen on Yelp, and then I looked up the under 3-star reviews. All right, so I'm going to read some of these shitty reviews on Yelp. Amy O gave it 2 stars. I'm kind of shocked this place has 4 stars. Am I missing something here? I got the veggie wrap because I was too terrified to order meat. It wasn't good. My pickle that came on the side had stuff on it. Yeah, stuff. I don't know what, nor do I really want to. I'm making this girl the biggest bitch ever. Anyway, Thank goodness my wrap came with fries, which made up most of what I consumed that day. It seems everyone is raving about their late night items, so perhaps the key is to be drunk. Yeah, Amy. All right, next review is from Tammy J. 3 stars. Gave 3 stars. Normally this is good, but today there was so much grease on my plate from the cheese omelet, I had to use most of my napkin to soak it up. Went home and was ill for the rest of the day. Just the saddest person ever. I spent the rest of the day just being ill. And then there was one more I wanted to read. Okay. This one's a longer one. John S. gave it 2 stars. Okay, period. That's what you started off. So, it has a fun, kitschy sign that looks like a hometown favorite kind of place. It has charm, small, old, fun, kind of an open, old-timey dinner. But, ... I had a pretty bad experience. Tell us more, John. First, we were seated in the very back addition to where they stored the bread out in the open. So we didn't exactly get that Edward Hooper's Nighthawks dinner vibe. What is that reference, by the way? What? Okay. Yeah, what's your fucking deal? Mr. Wikipedia? more like we were eating in a pantry. I ordered a breakfast burrito serene. Let's see, where's the... is this getting interesting? I don't know why I chose this one. First, the portions were enormous. We ordered way too much food for brunch. Any one item is enough for 2 people, but the omelet and hash browns were meh, bland, needed salt and ketchup or salsa. Biscuits and gravy were not bad, but lacked flavor. My burrito's pretty good. My coffee came in a dirty cup with super caked on lipstick I thought might be part of the ceramic, but then I scratched it and it came off. Yuck. When I got the bill, I was a bit surprised. Oh, wait, no, there's an important part. Okay, this is why I did this. Okay. Okay, gotta go back real quick. Fuck. Oh. I ordered the breakfast burrito supreme and half red chili peppers, half green chili. Hold, all caps, the tomatoes. Parentheses, that'll be important later. I skipped that part. Should have known. My wife ordered an omelet, add tomatoes. Okay? See where there's already a bit of, like, tension? With hash browns. I told the waitress, just take my tomatoes off my dish and add it to hers. Okay, now cut back to, when I got the bill, I was a bit surprised to see they added $2.20 to add tomatoes. Since I subtracted tomatoes and my wife added tomatoes, it was a net of 0 tomatoes. Plus, I think I could get a couple pounds of tomatoes at the store for the cost of the smattering they took off my dish. And added to my wife's. Because we all know that you pay the exact same price for food at a grocery store that you do at restaurants. Common knowledge. When I got to the cashier and told them there were 0 added tomatoes overall, so we shouldn't get charged to them, she told me, well, you should have told your waitress to put yours on the side, then your wife could have used them. We then said, writing a script here, I told her to take the tomatoes off of mine and put it on hers. Plus, if that's the policy, the waitress should have told us. She wouldn't change the bill. In fact, I would venture to say they use less tomatoes overall as they were out fewer tomatoes on a smaller omelet dish than the larger burrito dish. So, wrapping it up. Fun, kitschy sign. Old school diner atmosphere, which also means the customer is never right. Rip-off prices, large but expensive portions. Brunch costs $35 for no extra food, and bland, okay food means blah, blah, blah. Might have given them a second chance, maybe, but they basically told me that I wasn't important. I guess that's it. Thank you very much, everybody.
Matt Ingebretson.
Yeah.
Give him a round of applause, goddammit.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was the worst screenplay ever.
I should have left a reply like, you should get into screenwriting.
He's like some sort of like tomato whisperer. He's like, yeah. Take them off this, put them on that. Don't charge, that just guy, don't charge us for anything.
Just the worst person.
Yeah.
220. Shut your. He's I a get math- so angry. That's why I get angry at people.
He's like a mathematician. He's like, yeah. The net sum of this entire tomato transaction is zero.
If you take the square root of the tomatoes and add the pepper, you get, I'm a douchebag.
He probably works for the Bro Bible.
Yeah.
So, it's hangover foods. What are you a drinker, right?
Yeah, I drink. Yeah.
So you ever get the hangover?
No, I'm a perfectly I get
hangover. What do you do personally?
I just chug water like night of.
Okay.
And morning of. It's a real I piss so much when I drink. It's just like just listen up guys. Let me tell you about how much I pee. But yeah, I just drink a lot of water.
You can be honest, too. It's fine.
But I drink a lot of water, and then I think bread. Bread is my
bread. Favorite. Soak up the water.
And peanut butter. I eat peanut butter,
too. Oh, okay.
Too,
that's the secret there. That's what we were looking for.
That's the secret, kids. Eat peanut butter.
Yeah,
I just drink a lot of water, and I only drink one type of alcohol per night, pretty much.
Okay, so you're a smart drinker.
Yeah, yeah.
That's rare.
Super smart.
That's rare. Most people are like, I want it all inside of me.
Yeah.
Like that sort of thing. I also know you ever meet. I've met people out drinking, and they'll have like two drinks, and then like a water, and they call that water the chaser car, or the pace car, or some shit like that. They have a funny drinking analogy for it, but it's only for the weak men that I don't understand.
When I would go to my freshman year, when I would go to frat parties, because I knew that I was just told this water trick: drink one water for every beer you drink. Hey, keep it down.
Crowd control.
And did you bring this banana just to illustrate?
I was trying to make this. Yeah, I was bringing atmosphere to the table. Usually there's a candle, but I lost it.
This is the saddest table of food ever. It's a banana, some saltine crackers, and a fake candle.
There's a beer.
And some Dum Dums. Who wants candy?
Mm-hmm. Good thing she was there. That was headed straight for her face.
The reason I did all that distracting is because I didn't have anywhere to go with that story about me going to
fine.
Frat parties.
Do you actually want a cracker?
No.
How many crackers can you eat in 2 minutes?
What is that challenge? Isn't the saltine challenge?
I think it's one whole saltine cracker in a minute is the saltine challenge.
I've tried that before. You can't do it.
Not one cracker.
Or it's six.
Jordan.
We stumped him. We did it, you guys.
Okay, here. Jordan, how many can you eat?
That was a mistake.
That's fine. We got them donated. That's not true. How many broken saltine crackers can you eat? That's fine. We shouldn't have done that. Anyways.
What's there's a saltine, then there's a cinnamon challenge. Have you ever
gone
down
challenge?
the black hole of watching YouTube videos of eats?
And then the gallon challenge?
What's that one?
You drink a gallon of milk in a half an hour?
Can't do it.
Really?
It's not physically
possible. You start throwing up.
You projectile, yeah.
Gross.
It's pretty much all systems got to go.
Because your stomach just can't hold a gallon of milk?
Pretty much, yeah.
But it can hold like a gallon of beer, right?
That's true. Did you go? Did you spent some time at MIT, didn't you?
I went to college.
Deep in the thickets studying the hangover. So... But yeah, so let's just go with the trivia. Let's test your knowledge. How about that?
All right, cool.
Matt, hit him with the trivia song.
Bannett.
I mean, Matt number one, hit him with Bannett. The trivia song.
Bannett.
Trivia. Skrillex edition. So, here, I have things. Hang on. I probably should have gotten my shit together before I did this. Anyways. Speaking of drunk people, true or false, it is estimated that at any one time in the world, approximately 0.7% of the population is drunk.
True?
It's very true. 0.7, that's right. 700.
That would
be
a weird fact for you to just make up.
That would be. It's actually false. Like I said, the carrier pigeon, you can't see the calligraphy that it used, and it's very impressive.
0.7% of people are drunk. I've always wondered how many people are having sex at any given moment.
That's a completely different
podcast. 0.9.
0.69%. Eh?
Oh.
Yeah. All right, that got nothing, and good for you for giving it nothing. It was a bad joke.
Anyways, continuing with the theme of the drunk people.
DUIs were a thing, right? I have no lead into this. That's why the trivia is always the most awkward part. But anyways, let's test your knowledge of driving intoxicated. Okay. Can you tell me in what year the very first DUI was ever recorded? Half credit for what country?
I have no clue. Can I ask an audience member, specifically Mr. Wikipedia?
Post-70s?
I'm going to say post-70s. Oh. Let's go 1944 or 1945. No. Yeah, 1945, Japan, post us dropping the atomic bomb. I feel like everyone was hitting the sauce a little hard at that point.
That's good. That's a very, very well-educated guess. wrong, though. It's actually, get this, September 10th, 1897, in London.
Okay.
9-10. What? Never forget.
Yeah, it was the first great tragedy of London. September 10th, 1897, a London taxi driver slammed his cab into a building. He was fined 25 shillings, and that was it. the first...
Which is 50 American dollars.
A lot at the time. It's 1857. No, it was a cab, taxi cab. I'm assuming it was a BMW or something like that. Something... Yeah. It was a man riding a cab driver. And he slammed into a building, and he gave him 25.
I feel
shillings.
Like drunk horse riding, you can't do that much damage.
You can't, actually. I was in Montrose, Colorado recently, and there was a man riding a horse down the sidewalk. Literally the first thing that we saw when we got into the town. And I asked the locals why the man was riding the horse down the sidewalk. And they knew him. He was notorious, small town. Uh-huh. And it was because he had gotten two DUIs.
Really?
And so he was forced to ride a horse, but he also got a DUI on the horse.
Yeah.
So
if you can get one on a bicycle, why not a horse, right?
Yeah. That's old timey. And actually, the first recorded DUI in the United States of America was in 1910, and it was a New York City taxi driver. Do you guys see the trend growing here? Don't trust
Don't take taxi
drivers.
Your Montrose story makes me. I want to think about like what's the weirdest conveyance you can get a DUI on, like a piggyback ride DUI would be really cool.
Or like maybe you like a skateboard or like a stick.
Something. Rollerblading DUI would be interesting.
So pretty much though, DUI started right when cars started.
Pretty much. Well, actually, in London, in America, it wasn't until 1910 before they installed the law. So it was a good 10 years where you could drive drunk.
I like
in America
the idea
before they really
like if for there was a while when they thought heroin was good for you when they were like. You drive better when you're drunk, actually.
Yeah.
From like 1900,
they were like, here's
1910.
The car. It goes great with your booze.
Yeah. All right. That didn't get as much as it maybe should have.
But was that three questions? Two questions? Two questions? Three questions?
I think that was two.
Two questions. All right. Keeping with the theme. This one, not a true or false. Also not multiple choice. In what year was the breathalyzer invented?
Let's go 1945, right after the bombs.
Right after the bombs.
In Japan dropped.
Also very well educated. It's actually 1954 was when the modern day breathalyzer was invented by Robert F. Borkenstein. Was his name.
Fucking Jews.
Fucking Jews. For their middle initials. No, it actually replaced, get this, the technology they used before 1954 was invented in 1938 by a man named Professor Rolla Harger, and he called it the Drunkometer. That was the actual the name of the groundwork that became the breathalyzer was the Drunkometer, 1938.
And it was like one of those grip test things that tells you how much of a good lover you are, you know?
Yeah.
It was. They put you piggyback on a taxi driver, and then you slammed into a building. You had to pay 25 shillings, and then you were let go. Matt Ingebretson, everybody!
Thank you very much.
Matt Ingebretson!
Ladies and gentlemen, are you guys ready for your third and final course? great. He's a very funny guy. He's just back in town from the great state of New York. Please put your hands together for my friend, Mr. Jason Keys.
Jason Keys, everybody!
Oh, man, this is a fun show, man. It's so fun. I just want to do well for you guys. I'm a little nervous. I'm a little hot, but I can't take off my coat because I got deodorant stains on my shirt, you know, so I didn't want to waste a good, clean shirt, so I had to keep my coat on. That's a little too much information. You know, we're not even going to talk about that tonight. We're supposed to be talking about food, not deodorant stains. I'm sorry. I just to give you all that visual, but I've given up. I'm in a relationship now. I've just given up. So that's how it works. And, I mean, it's funny you talk about food, because, I mean, food is part of the, like, one of the things you realize that you're in a relationship and you've just given up. Because I live with my girlfriend now, and, you know. So I did something romantic, you know. I bought a grill. Which is, and I don't know, man. Relationships term, grills are huge. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's huge, you know. And that's the thing. Like, I don't even like to grill food. I hate cooking food. That is, like, one of the worst things. I'm one of the type of people, like, you ever cook food, and then when you get finished cooking it, you're not hungry anymore? Like, that's how I am. I'll cook up a huge lasagna or something. I'll be like, you know, I don't even want it. I'll eat it tomorrow for lunch. Like, I have to be in the mood for food to eat food. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I bought a grill. That's how I know I'm in love, y'all, because I bought a grill so I can go out and grill some meat. That's it. How sad is that? How exciting is that in your relationship that buying a grill is like the highlight of your whole week's conversation? We've been telling everybody that we got a grill. Like, everybody, hey, guess what? We got a grill yesterday. It's pretty nice. One day when I learn how to grill food, I think the reason I bought that grill was not for food. You know what I'm saying? Like, you think it would be for food. Like, oh, we're eating together. We're, you know what I'm saying, exciting, everything like that. I think it's just the fact that I sometimes hate being around my girlfriend. And I need an oasis. We got a one-bedroom apartment. There's nowhere to go to get away. So my escape is the balcony. So I'm just like, you know what? I'm tired of you. I'm going to grill some food. Like, that's how I feel like our fights are going to go. Now, I know this ain't funny to y'all, but this is real stuff to me, y'all. I got to get this off. I don't have therapy. She took all my money. I don't have therapy. So I got to tell y'all about the fact that I hate cooking food, you know? And I grew up in the South. Food is big in the South. I don't know if y'all know that or not. I went to a historically black college and university, and we had a thing called Chicken Day in the cafeteria, and Chicken Day was awesome. I know y'all looking at it. It was a black college, and we had a thing called Chicken Day. We being racist against ourselves. Like, that's, you think in a higher education, we wouldn't use a chicken, you know what I'm saying, at any point, but we love Chicken Day. Chicken Day was Wednesday. It was the best day of the whole week. Everybody, you know, club clothes, y'all know what, you know, club clothes everybody wear? That's what you wear to Chicken Day. It was great. We had a DJ. He was back there scratching the back. Yeah, I see you with them pumps on. You're like, that was our Chicken Day. We passed out prizes and everything. It was a big event. You know what I'm saying? It was awesome. Everybody's like, you going to Chicken Day? Yeah, I'll be at Chicken Day. You know what I'm saying? Like, we dancing in the corner at Chicken Day. It's like, they dancing for chicken. Like, you just feel bad as a black person to see your school, a higher education school, dancing for chicken. It's just, but that's the South, man. That's who we are. That's what we do. We love food in the South. You know what I'm saying? I got one of them old school moms that cook everything from scratch. You know, so you can't ever look in the refrigerator and be like, you know, I would make some, you know, I make some ribs, but, you know, I ain't got no barbecue sauce. Because then she start telling you the ingredients for barbecue sauce. Like, no, you got barbecue. You got some ketchup, brown sugar. Well, you got some barbecue sauce. I don't care what you asking for. You're like, man, you know, I want some chicken. It's like, well, I ain't got no chicken. I don't feel like going to the store. You got an egg? An incubator? Ain't nobody got no incubator. What the? But that's I don't know, man. That's life. Oh man, it's crazy, man. Black people love food, man. We love food. We'll disown you if you can't cook. Like like, I think it's great. You got the potluck here. Everybody's bringing stuff. I think it's awesome. But most black people don't like potlucks. You know what I'm saying? Because we judge you by your food. You only got one time to mess up a dish. I don't know if you, black churches are notorious for this. They always ask who made what. Not to be nice, but to know what not to eat. Like, who made the macaroni and cheese? No, I ain't mess with that macaroni and cheese. She got roaches. Like, that's how we... that's what we do, right? Black people love food. black women, I shouldn't even tell this joke. Black women like bananas, you know, it's, you know, that's where they get their butts from, you know. All that potassium. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have said it. I know as it was coming out, I shouldn't have said it. That's a dumb joke. But yeah, it's tough, man. I ain't really got no food jokes, man. I just think it's fun just to be up here talking to you guys. I mean, you guys are great. I love this show, man. I love the idea. It's so much fun to be up in here. So, all right, man, you know what? I don't know if that was 5 minutes or 2 minutes, but I don't really care because I'm getting off. I'm Jason Keys. Thank you.
Jason Keys, everybody.
Jason Keys.
Yeah. Give him a round of applause, everybody. Jesus Christ. That was good, man. So you dropping secrets here about that potassium.
That's where
they get that butt?
That's where they get that booty, all that potassium.
White girls take notice. It's bananas. Sexy to eat and good for you. That's
y'all thought it was
about
red beans or rice. We was throwing y'all off the trail. Mm-hmm.
Southern eats. So, all right. So is there a difference in white people hangover foods and black people hangover foods?
Man, I wish I knew, but I don't really drink.
No?
Yeah, I mean, I've only had one hangover in my life, and that was like the only time I ever got drunk.
What did you eat, fried chicken?
No, all I had was...
What? Hey,
Jesus Christ,
probably a Wednesday. I'm just going off of what he said.
Yeah, I actually had a little watermelon for the hydration. That's
Sorry. I'm trying to get some insight. My fault. I thought it was okay to ask questions. I thought we were in a safe place.
Yeah, it's a safe place. It's cool. No, I mean, I just did crackers and
you had a bunch of crackers?
And some ginger ale.
Hey, that
ale,
was being
you know
racist.
What I'm saying?
God damn it. You guys jumped down my
crackers
throat.
And redheads. That's what I had. That's
some ginger crisps, you know?
So that's what it was, yeah.
So you're not like a heavy drinker. I know that because we're friends. And,
yeah, I'm not heavy.
So what's your take on like hangover, like drunk culture? Like, do you think it's silly? Like, do you think it's just nonsense that people would go out and put themselves through that kind of damaging experience just for fun?
I don't know. I think it's cultural. Like, I grew up in a family that didn't drink at all. Like, no alcohol in the house, family functions, no alcohol at all. So I learned how to have fun without drinking.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Which y'all probably looking at me like, you don't have fun, Jason. I know I don't have fun. My fun consists of Stargate Atlantis and Orange is the New Black. That's Netflix fun. I have depression fun. That's my fun.
I have depression fun. Binge watching.
You know, so
you're not binge drinking, you're binge watching.
I don't need to drink to have a good time or feel bad about myself. No. Why should I add that expense to my life? Alcohol is expensive. No.
I got this free streaming of videos on the internet. I can feel bad about myself and drink this club.
And I mean, that's another thing, a reason why I don't drink is I just don't like to spend money on alcohol. You know, and people they'll be like, oh, you drive a PBR or something. They're like, oh, that's like just soda with bad taste. It doesn't like make you drunk or anything. It's just like bad tasting. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's weird. So I don't mess with cheap stuff. If I do drink, I try to drink something that's going to make me drunk as soon as possible, so I don't have to drink that much.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So nothing that strong. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, I do pussy drinks. You know what I'm saying? I might do a Red Bull and vodka or rum and coke. You know what I'm saying?
Those are standard drinks.
I know they're standard, but they're pussy standard. Like, you know what I'm saying? They're not like, yeah, I'm going to get some rum and, you know what I'm saying? It's like, no.
I want whiskey out of Buffalo.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. They be like, Jägermeister, yeah. But it's like, let me get a rum and coke. I'm just going to be chilling in the corner. That's how.
Fuzzy nipples, that's a man's
drink. Let me get my
drink,
vodka
right?
Red Bull.
Oh, fuzzy nipple,
have
yeah.
a real quiet night over here.
Yeah, I'm just having a nice quiet little night. I'm going to sit back and light a candle or something. You know?
Yeah. Funny.
No, my girlfriend makes me drink. So that's
makes
funny.
You like with a funnel or like a turkey baster?
She does. She uses a turkey baster on herself. But
okay, this is getting a little too. But we're not in that safe a place, Keys. Then you.
I thought it was safe. I always thought it'd be funny if gold diggers had like turkey basters on their keychains. I thought that'd be a little fun idea.
The abortion show's next month, Keys.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you could eat fetuses. All right, cool.
The definition.
I'm sorry. He took it there. It was, God.
All right. So you're fired. It's the definition of flying off the rails, everybody. Might as well name it the blue line.
I'm sorry.
Anyways. Right.
Chicago.
One
jokes.
Guy got that one. Thanks a lot. Anyways, somebody's topical. Anyways. So, you're not a big drinker? You get force-fed the booze by your girlfriend. That sounds like a beautiful relationship.
Yeah, a little bit. You know.
You mean she makes you like go drink with me, or she makes you drink because she like drives you crazy, makes you drink?
Nah, she's like go drink with me. Like, yeah, you know, just go drink with me. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, I'm a lightweight man. Like, it's not even like I'm getting pussy out of deal because I fall asleep. I just drink it and I fall right asleep. So it's like it's not even beneficial to me to drink anymore. Like, there was a time where it's like I'll have a beer, come and get some pussy on the end. But now it's just like, it's been a long day. I'm going to sleep.
Is that
like
how it works? You just drink and you get pussy?
Well, shoot.
When
if you're doing it right, I mean,
keys,
come on now.
Yeah.
Clearly,
the one time I did have a hangover, I still had pussy on the mind. I had a girl bring me some saltines and ginger ale. So I don't know what it was.
So your hangover cure is.
Pussy, yeah.
Pussy.
There we go.
We figured it out.
Not like actual work. Like, cause you ever had a headache and tried to pump? Like, that's just a bad combination. But I'm laying on your back and just letting her do all the work. You know what I'm saying? That's a good cure.
That's a good cure for just about anything, I'd say.
Yeah, I think so. I definitely do. You know.
Well, you got the sniffles?
Yeah.
Did your dog die?
I coughed a little bit. Just sit on my dick.
You were
there
late
we go.
For the bus
that's
this
it.
Afternoon. Just sit on me.
All right.
It's hilarious. All right, are you ready for your trivia questions?
Yeah, what's these hard trivia questions?
Hey, hang on here. Don't jump the gun. Matt, hit him with the theme song!
Bennett. Oh. Bennett.
Trivia.
Cool. I thought you were about to do the theme song, The Shaft.
That's next show. Anyways, trivia, here we go. Big question. This is not true or false, not multiple choice, Jason, but I hope you've been paying attention. What year was the Bro Bible founded?
The Bro Bible founded. I'm going to take a guess. What year did The Hangover come out? Any help with that? 2010?
He's working it out.
Think about 2010.
You're going to go 2010?
I'm going to go 2010.
Real close. 2008.
Nice.
Real close. 0-1.
Man.
Nice try. I don't have anything else about the Bro Bible there, except for I do actually. Funny how pages work, isn't it? Anyways, according to the Bro Bible, the Egg McMuffin is the number one cure for the hangover. Not the movie, more the symptom. What year was the Egg McMuffin introduced by McDonald's?
Oh, man, hold up. So they put crack in the black communities in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. It's a fact.
They used styrofoam also. I'm going to go with 1986.
Close. It's 1972.
Ah, all right. Man.
It was introduced into the public. It was invented by a man named Herb Peterson, who was a franchise owner.
Herb Peterson.
Herb Peterson.
Good old Herb.
He actually invented it in the late 60s, but didn't introduce it until 1972. He was keeping that magical thing under his fucking hat. He was like, check this out.
I think he was still tripping balls in the 60s when he invented it. It's like, oh, I'm over it now. I think we can put this to the public.
Yeah, he was like, you know, the time is right. America's ready.
Yes.
Breakfast until 11. All right, last trivia question. The banana, also my personal favorite cure for the hangover is the banana, also very common. This one's a tough one. What continent was the banana first cultivated? Keep in mind there's seven.
Oh, man. I think I'm going to go with Antarctica. No. let's see. I mean, first thing you would go with is Africa, but for some reason, I'm feeling South America.
South America?
Yeah.
It's actually Asia.
Really?
What?
Wow.
The audience.
What?
The audience obviously has not read up on their Wikipedia.
Man.
What?
But no, at least it's the banana, the domestication of the banana. I use that word because I took it off the internet.
So they came with bananas, rice, and gunpowder. That is.
Yeah. Well, they might mean bananas grew, like gunpowder was obviously made by people. But no, the banana, it dates back to at least 5,000.
Did he explain that to me? Really? It's like, no, Jace, I don't think you understand how chemistry works.
Understand.
I'm sorry.
Two men ate a banana and then created gunpowder. But the banana, which came first, banana or gunpowder?
That's why it looks
banana.
Like a gun. That's exactly
that's
it. Right
actually,
there.
That's why it's shaped it was, that way. They were like, look at this delightful treat. I wonder if I can invent something that could murder my enemies with.
Exactly.
But
that backfired on him. No, sorry. I'm sorry.
No, don't
gun pun. Bam!
Woo!
But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, that's been Jason Keys.
Thank you.
Jason Keys, everybody.
You guys, that is our show for the night. Thank you so much for coming out. We are here every fourth Wednesday at the Deer Pile at 8 o'clock, right before Too Much Fun. Come back and see us. Have a good night, everybody.
Hang out for the next show, everybody.